Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Support for this week's episode of Dad Hard with a Podcast comes from Manscaped. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped and get 20% off plus free shipping when you include the code DADHARD20 at Manscaped.com. Manscaped, your balls will thank you.
Hey, you got him with this one, dog. It's so soulful. Let's take him back. Come on. Hey, remember back in the block, in the summertime when the sidewalk got so boiling hot that the heat from the street almost melts your flip-flops or burn through your new shoes and leave you with holes in your socks. Us city slickers, there was no water in spots, so we'd head to the corner, Mr. Warner would knock.
Welcome on my Duke Daddies, future fathers, potential parents, and everyone else tuning in. This is Dad Hard with a Podcast, and as always, I am your host, Mo Green, and this is episode 75 of Dad Hard with a Podcast. Blows my mind that we've gotten this far. It is awesome. It is now week 103 of Dadding Hard for your boy right here. That is even more wild. My daughter turns 2 next week. That's crazy. Although she already swears that she's already 2, and she's now started to say that she's going to be turning 3, because 2 weeks ago she was already turning 2, so how can she be turning 2 again? How she understands that timeline, no idea. That's what she's telling us now. She now tells us that she's going to turn 3. She's already 2. Anyway, this is Dad Hard with a Podcast. If you missed last week's episode, it was a fantastic one with Mr. Joe Cohen, a writer extraordinaire. We talked about his relationship with parenting, you know, the evolution of where he's come from, you know, growing up in, you know, South Boston, Italian-Irish neighborhood, very hard-nosed, hard body, and how his relationship with his daughter has now changed him and softened him a little bit more, which is a beautiful thing. And we also talked about reversing this concept of stranger danger that majority of us grew up with throughout the 80s, and some crazy stats that he gave about how it's potentially destroyed and made way for this millennial era right now. And the stranger danger epidemic is kind of the reason why millennials are just constantly using technology all the time, because they don't want to actually meet any strangers in person because they're petrified of them because of how they were raised. It was phenomenal the way that he brought that all together, and he does that all even deeper in his new book, The Power of Strangers. So congratulations, Joe. That came out last week. On this week's episode, we dive into a topic that we've never spoken about before, and this is a inspiring episode. My guest, Gary Martinez Jr., is a father of 2, and his 15-year-old daughter, his oldest daughter, was diagnosed with autism. And not diagnosed until she was 5 years old, which is a little bit ridiculous to me. And he just goes through how he's been dealing with that for these last 15 years. It's truly inspiring. The guy is ultra positive, and that's a fantastic conversation. That's coming up after the musical break. Now, before we start, I have to say, Dad Hard with a Podcast is now available and streaming on the Helium Radio Internet Radio Network. That's heliumradio.com. You can catch Dad Hard with a Podcast on Helium Radio every Friday at noon Eastern Time. That is 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And given this is a special Friday episode of Dad Hard with a Podcast, you can catch us today on the Helium Radio Network, heliumradio.com. They also have an app. You can go to the Untethered Network. That is for explicit content, which is hilarious that it's a fatherhood podcast on the explicit content channel of their network. But you know what? Fuck it. That's exactly why we're on the explicit content channel. Anyway, yes, catch us on Helium Radio Network every Friday at noon. And with that said, let's dive into this week's development because it is, like I said, week 103. That means I am 1 week shy of my second anniversary as a dad, aka my daughter's second birthday. And last week I talked a lot about her language development and how we've been able to now have conversations and, you know, her speech is just evolving at such a rapid rate and her understanding of language is evolving at such a rapid rate. That's continued tenfold. But now there are two specifics of her language development that really came to light over this last week. The first of which is her memory. Her memory is now impeccable. And I guess that makes sense because they, you know, at 2 years old, right? Kids probably only have a year and a half worth of memories. You know what I mean? Like they don't remember anything from when they were little teeny tiny, you know, until 6-8 months, they're not really retaining information. Probably 9 months, really. They're not retaining information. But she now remembers everything. Doesn't matter what it is. If I, you know, we went on these, I like to do these missions with my daughter, right? We, you know, whenever she's going crazy, she wants like ice cream or, you know, something like that. In lieu of giving her that ice cream, I'm like, listen, we're going to do a mission. We're going to create a mission. And our mission is to find an ice cream truck. And when you find that ice cream truck, you're going to say, I found you, ice cream truck, right? Stuff like that, little things. Our latest mission was to find a purple motorcycle. She's really into motorcycles now because they go vroom. And she sees them all the time walking down the street. And she's like, oh, pink one, green one, blue one, right? And she wanted to, she was so upset that she didn't see a purple motorcycle. So for 2 weeks, we had this mission in place to find a purple motorcycle. And best believe every single day she came to me and she said, Dad, we got to do the mission and find purple motorcycle. Every day. Remembered this. Every single day she asked about this mission to find a purple motorcycle. Finally, we found the purple motorcycle. It happened to be right across the street from our apartment. And now every day she remembers where it is. She runs immediately to the window that overlooks the street. And she sees if it's there. And if it is, she gets so excited. And she goes to Dad, there's a purple motorcycle still there. She remembers these things. She remembers that when she has a friend, Charlie, right? In a book that she has, the book character plays with a person named Charlie. And every day when we read the book, she's like, I played with Charlie. She remembers all of these things now. And it's, I mean, not just the tip of the iceberg there. She remembers where the pizza place is. She remembers where Daddy does laundry. She knows the street that we used to live on and knows when we pass it going to daycare, like, that's the old house. She starts to remember all of these things. And this has really only started to come about in this heavy manner where it's like everything she remembers. In the last week or two, maybe 3 weeks, her memory is really starting to kick in and you can see that she's seeing these things and seeing these memories clear as day. And it's a really cool thing to see. The other thing that she has started to develop is question asking. And that has just started this week. Literally like Monday of this week, everything is a question. If she sees something that she doesn't know what it is, right? Or she can't remember it, right? So again, relating back to the memory, if she can't remember what it is or doesn't know what it is, she asks, she's like, Dad, what's that? What's that? What is that? What is that? what is that? And I'll tell her, and she'll speak it back to me. And then the next time we see it, she'll remember it and say, hey, that's because they're doing construction, right? So there was this big tarp over a building. We were walking by, and she's like, what is that? It's blue. What is that? And I told her, I said, that's a covering. They're doing construction. It so protects people that are walking on the street, like Daddy and Rora, protects us from stuff falling off of the building. And she goes, oh, we protected. I said, yeah. And then we walked by it the next day. And she said, oh, Daddy, the construction. I was like, how can you say the word construction? And she goes, yeah, construction to keep protect, right? Just to keep us protected. So she now wants to learn things even more. And she wants to be able to communicate her learnings. And she wants to be able to communicate her memories. She really is a sponge and just absorbing all of this stuff. And it's almost like she feels like her memory is like full, right? And she now knows everything that she knows. So now she wants to know more. And she wants to know other things. We were reading a book last night and we saw moose in the book. She never knew what a moose was. She never seen a moose. So I had to tell her what a moose was and a beaver. But she wants to know what everything is. She points at it and she wants to know. And then she wants to talk about it. And it's not like, oh, hey, that's just like a bicycle. She wants to know like why that bicycle looks different than the other bicycles and why that scooter is different than the other scooters and why this motorcycle is green. But that she wants to know the reasoning behind everything. It's like she wants to learn. She wants to be able to expand her language capacity and her ability to communicate. And that desire is now the third development. You put those two together and you get, you know, 2 and 2 equals 3 in this case, and you get the third aspect of it. And it's just this desire to continue to evolve her communication skills and her ability to communicate and her ability to talk. So the girl loves to talk. She is her father's daughter, and she wants to be able to continue to do that. And it's super, super interesting to watch that evolve in the same manner I talked about last week about them evolving their language and just being able to speak in a more communicatory way. I don't know which one of those words is correct, but fuck it. She now wants to expand on that level of communication by knowing more things and knowing how she can talk about them. It's like she's trying to figure out in her head, and that small little 2-year-old brain of hers, she's trying to figure out how she can use all of these new things that she's asking about and then therefore learning about in her everyday communication. I wish I could just be a fly on the wall in daycare and see if she like actually talks to the little kids in daycare about this construction site or, you know, this purple motorcycle. I wonder if they like talk about these things. Maybe I'll ask my daycare one day if I could just sit in for a day and see how the kids communicate with each other. But, you know, she's really absorbing everything and wants to just keep absorbing more. She is like a sponge that only wants to be wet, if that made any sense at all. But it's wild to see, and her inquisitive nature is just a beautiful thing. And it's really eye-opening as a parent. And that's that. That's for this week's development. Next week is our second anniversary of being a dad. So it is my daughter's second birthday. So it'll be her second birthday episode. We'll have a little something special. Shit, I maybe even throw a birthday party on the podcast. But anyway, we're going to jump into a musical break and then get into my chat with Mr. Gary Martinez Jr. about his experience as a father raising a daughter with autism. It is an awesome conversation. The guy is the most positive human being I've maybe ever met, besides my buddy Dan DeVere. Shout out Double D. He's just incredible. It's a great conversation. The tools that he's been able to use and create within himself to help with his daughter's condition is awesome. I mean, he might win Dad of the Year in my book for that. So we're jumping to the musical break, and we will catch you on the other side.
Yeah, I'm about to let him know where we coming from, Rule.
You know who it is. It's your boy Mo. Introducing. This is the first call and I'm the lead eagle. Low profile slide through in a Jeep Regal. Grease pants sagging past my Aspie EV suit. And I ain't the king, but you still ain't my equals. My shit is hard as rocks. Your style's a see-through. Well, I'm done with the sequel. You still on a prequel. I'm too advanced. Get out, zoom right past it. I could teach you dumb niggas like remedial classes. Bastards blasted. My index is spastic. Don't make action, Jackson.
Dads, summer is coming. Are you ready to unveil that beach bod? If not, you're in luck, because our friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0. So compliment your summer bod with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. The sun is shining and calling your name, fellas. So join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code DADHARD20. Let me tell you, I went to the beach a couple weeks ago, a little bit before summer hit, and my whole chesticle situation was looking very, very Teen Wolf. I did not want my daughter to be a part of that family with the hairy ass dad, chest hair popping out, arm hair popping out, all that stuff. So I took the Lawnmower 4.0 and I said, zip, 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 zip. I went from Teen Wolf to Teen Michael J. Fox real quick. And that's all thanks to Manscaped. If you use the performance package, you get the Lawnmower 4.0. You get the Weed Whacker ear hair, nose hair trimmer. You get the Crop Preserver. That is the ball deodorant, which I also use to keep smelling fruity, fruity fresh. As well as the Crop Reviver Toner, also for those balls. Plus, you get a free gift, actually two of them, with your performance boxer briefs and the travel bag to hold all your goodies. Like I said, get 20% off and free shipping right now with the code DADHARD20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DADHARD20 at manscaped.com. Escape the shrubs and weeds this summer and shine with Manscaped.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Remember back in the days before you got blazed and lost in the haze. Remember back in the times when being just a kid was fine. Right, right. Remember back in the days before you had brains or cared about your waves. Remember back in the times when being just a kid was fine. Right, right. Ha! Remember the sandbox, little league ball, felt like the sandlot. I was the Bambino, the salt and the swap. And Doc was more like Benny the Jet. No Henny, but yet, pops tell us to drink up. Like this will put some hair in your chest. That was
before we are back with this week's episode of Dad Hard with the podcast. And as always, you know, once that music break hits, it is time for the guest segment of the show. And this week, we're tackling a topic that I have yet to discuss on a podcast. Honored and amazed at what my guest has been able to do, given his parenting situation. He is from Colorado. He has two children, one of which, his daughter, is 15 and living with autism. So he has now kind of dedicated at least part of his life to being an advocate for childhood autism and bringing awareness to the disease, and also putting out content into the world to help other dads and parents navigate that unique situation. And I put unique in air quotes, as you see, G, I put it in air quotes because it shouldn't be unique. All of our fatherhood experiences are unique. Every child is unique. And this is a unique child and experience, to say the least. So with no further ado, let me introduce Mr. Gary Martinez Jr. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mo. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing super fantastic, man. I'm ready for this.
Always doing super fantastic. As I told you before we started, your positivity and energy that you just put forth is incredible. And I'm excited for this because I have a feeling that I might have met my match with energy on this pod, because I bring the energy and I know that you do the same. Your positive outlook and way of being is just phenomenal. I'm excited to have you on. I'm glad we were finally able to make this happen. How's everything out there in Colorado? How's the weather? How's the summer? How is everything treating you?
Weather is hot, so I've been taking the kids out. Speaking of energy galore, like, we went to this nearby town. The Mountain Creek water flows through the town, so we walked through the water for like 1 or 2 miles.
Wow.
And my dog used to be a toe walker, and now she can run in the water. We've been tearing up that town, walking through the whole town through the water, not the sidewalk, the water.
That's amazing. And are your kids so excited to be running through the water?
Yeah, man, you're talking about 7,000 feet elevation. Got both of the kids with me. So we're backpacked. We got drinks. We got snacks. We're prepared. So we do a nice little walk in the water a couple miles. We exit when we're in town. And then we're playing video games. And we hop on a shuttle bus.
That's amazing.
And we did it. We did it a couple of times this week. So it's like just getting it in.
That's awesome, man.
Enjoying life.
That's
enjoying
awesome.
Summer.
That's why I love Colorado. I've been out there a couple times. Got a couple good friends out there. And I love it because there's always like something different to do that's outdoors. You know what I mean? You know, they have their breweries and they have their drinking and everything like that, which, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a fan of. You know what I mean? But they have so many different things to do outdoors that you can't. I'm here in New York. I'm trapped in a concrete jungle, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to get. I'm not walking in water every day unless it's puddles of my daughter splashing in the park. So, you know, you are an incredible human being. And I will start by saying that, because how you've had to navigate your fatherhood experience with your daughter, I'm sure it's been very difficult. And I'm sure it's been even more difficult with the stigma that's been put on autism. Tell me everything. How did you find out that your daughter was autistic, and what did that feel like? What was that experience in finding out for you?
It was crazy, man, because the last thing you want to do as a parent is be in panic mode and don't know how to help your child. Sure. So my daughter she started out nonverbal. And so she couldn't talk. So the way she expressed herself was she was having these, what they call a sensory meltdown. So she would beat the heck out of herself, herself on the ground. She would arch her back so hard that it looked like the bottom of a rocking chair. And she was like that. And she was just pounding her knuckles on the ground, attacking the ground, screaming, crying, tears coming down her face. Her whole body just basically turned red. And she was just screaming out of the top of her lungs. And one thing about girls when they're autistic is that they kind of fly under the radar, where a lot of times the doctors, they think, oh, you know what? She's just a girl. You know, she's just being ditzy. So it's okay. She'll come around later. So, you know, we got diagnosed later. And when you get diagnosed at a later age, you miss out on these early interventions that could help your child out with certain therapies, like whether it's with their speech, with their OT therapy for their body to kind of know how to have coordination and to link arms with the brain so they can kind of organize themselves and work together.
Sure.
We didn't get that until later. So, you know, when we finally got diagnosed, like, okay, you know, you're autistic, but you also have what's called sensory processing disorder. Sensory processing disorder is something you grow into, but you don't grow out of. And that's what we were talking about earlier behind the scenes. It's like, you can't tie your shoe. You don't have the strength.
Right.
You don't have the coordination.
Right.
You don't have the fine motor skills. So you can't even use a spoon. You can't open opening a door was hard. We were a toe walker, where we had to walk on the earth on our toes because she was scared of the uneven surfaces of the earth. So there was a lot of crying. There was a lot of struggles when we had these therapies, where we were in the hallways a lot of times, just sitting on the floor, crying together because it was too much for her. And then you fast forward a little bit to school and preschool, it was too much for her. She couldn't handle, you know, school is unpredictable. When you're at home, there's structure, there's routine. School, chaos, it's a circus. You got loud sounds, you got different types of smells, you got bright lights,
you got people that you don't know.
You got people bumping into you, and if you're very sensitive to that kind of stuff, it can lead you right back into that meltdown. So I had to learn to break out of this introvert shell, like you said. And I said, okay, Gary, what you're going to do is, you know, you played sports when you were younger, you were an athlete. It's time to turn that switch on and let's be an athlete for your daughter's life. Let's start to help her out. So I had to start self-educating myself I went to every single session and I learned. I took notebooks, pens, pencils. I wrote everything down that didn't work. I wrote things down that did work. And I asked questions. Who do you follow? What books can I read? Who do you mentor? And I would stay up late until the wee hours of the morning to kind of self-educate myself, because I didn't know. I knew jack squat. I knew zero in the beginning.
Like most of us,
I had to put in the repetitions of learning into be that advocate for my daughter. So it took all those things. And today, you know, we talk. She laughs. We're like best buddies because we have a bond.
That's
like
awesome.
We're like, you know, best friends. And we've had to overcome those struggles, and it wasn't easy. It took years. But now we know we like this. We like that.
Yeah.
We got to do this routine every single day.
Yeah.
And as a parent, for me, I have to be prepared for her. I have to wake up early. I have to do my own self-awareness routine so I have the energy to give my 100% to her. So in a nutshell, that's, you know, kind of quickly what we started out with and kind of, you know, where we're at in a
So it's so crazy to me that she was just kind of put on a shelf with her action and just attributed to like, oh, she's just a girl, or oh, she's just delayed or something like that. Like it's so sad and it's upsetting to hear that as a girl dad, as a dad in general. You know what I mean? Like you hear that about your child and it's just brushed off to the side. You also want to, your natural instinct is to also kind of brush it off to the side. But meanwhile, you're at home dealing with this stuff that shouldn't be happening, you know what I mean? Based on like what you've probably seen with friends or gone through previously, etc. And that it's like that nobody cares. That, and they're taking the time to really analyze what's going on here. That must have been super difficult for you as well. What age did you finally get diagnosed with autism?
You know, to be honest, it's kind of hard to pinpoint it because they had to do different tests with different specialists and doctors. So it's probably in between, I'm going to say around 5 to 6 years old.
Jesus, right, that's before such we a started, long time. That's
right,
crazy.
Before we started therapies. So, you know, like you said, you know, every kid on the spectrum, autism spectrum, has different characteristics, different components. Like we're very repetitive. So we say a lot of things over and over, like a thousands of times every single day. But what people need to know about that is that's actually what's called a sensory anchor. So we're into Disney. So if she's repeating a Disney line all throughout the day, that means it's keeping her safe. It's keeping her
that's
relaxed.
Awesome.
It's making the outside world safe to her because she's using that world to deal with the outside world. And that's something that people have to learn how to, you know, respect. And another thing is that they can read the room. So like when we're in meetings, what I have to tell people in meetings, all these professionals, is like, you turn into the teacher, you're the practitioner. It's like, hey, you know what? Can we do this one-on-one? Because when we're in a room full of people in a small room, she can read all those voices. It's kind of like you on the phone and there's like 20 people talking to you at once. You can't answer all those questions.
Yeah.
That's the problem with her. So she gets overwhelmed, she'll have a meltdown, or she'll start doing some type of noise or movement. And that's like, hey, help, hey, help. So a lot of times I have to give her like a massage to get some of this deep pressure to kind of get this input that her body's craving to kind of help, you know, deal with those situations.
Did you get into massage? I know that you also are into massage therapy professionally. Did you get into that because it was a helpful mechanism for your daughter?
Actually, it was before.
Okay.
It was before. And I think a lot of things that I have become in life that kind of actually helped mold me into the person that has been able to help Monica, on a natural basis with her.
Yeah. So you find out at 5 years old. 5 years is a long time for a kid. There's a, you know, I read books all the time. I do a lot of research on this stuff. And, you know, they say that kids by the age of 3, they're basically like who they're going to be for the rest of their life. I know you're a super positive guy and you want to look at the positive side, but you must have been angry, had some semblance of anger and frustration to some extent. 5 years they let this go on, just trying to just basically brushing it under the rug before actually diagnosing her and getting her help. Like, what was that period like for you? That intermittent period where you probably knew that something else was up. They say there's motherly intuition. There's definitely fatherly intuition as well, especially once they start getting past that 1-2-year-old point. You must have had some semblance of frustration. How did you deal with that frustration and deal with those first 5 years of not knowing what was going on and also not knowing how to help her?
Yeah, like me back then versus me today. Like back then, I was very emotional. I wasn't the person you're talking to today. You know, I took it a different way. So I was that. I was all those things. I was frustrated. I was upset. I was angry. I was flipping out because, like you said, you know, don't you have any answers? If a doctor doesn't know, the best thing you can do is say, okay, I don't know. Let me refer you to someone who's 100%. A little more specialized, whether it's somebody that's like a neurologist or somebody. And then you give us the next step. And then you know, that way you're working a process to help out. You know, that doesn't happen a lot. A lot of professionals, you know, they'll just kind of stay stuck and say, you know what, okay, let's just come back in 3 months or let's just come back in 6 months. Well, every single second, you know, that child is suffering.
Sure.
And that's just not a good enough answer. 100%. So, you know, we want answers. So it took time. So, yeah, man, it was a lot of suffering. And just like you said, you know, I read a lot of books too. And that's just another way to kind of help you learn some things while this trauma is going on.
While you were doing that, did you have the sense that she was maybe like autistic, or did you just know that like something was up, that she needed different type of care or different assistance or different attention, or did you just kind of have a feeling like maybe she's autistic? Did that ever occur to you, or were you just trying to figure things out and how to help her?
Trying to help her and trying to figure things out, because honestly, I didn't even know what autism was. I didn't know that word.
Wow.
That was all foreign language. I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know sensory processing disorder, nothing, man. So I was helpless. I didn't know jack squat, only that, you know, hey, we need help and your answers are not good enough.
Yeah.
And it just took too long.
Yes, 5 years is a very, very, very long time. But autism is something I assume you're born with, correct?
There's different things that go around as far as like, no, you know, the science and research really hasn't pinpointed that. Like, they're always doing research. They're like, you know, we're going to research this for 10 years. And then you got to wait another 10 years. And you got to wait another 10 years. It's like, they really don't know. But, you know, I have evolved with my education. So I have a good sense. And for me, one thing that really stands out to me is that a lot of our kids have heavy metals in your system. Heavy metals for autistic kids, what happens is, like, you know, you got your left and you got your right side of your brain. Right here in the middle is that free space, man. It's like we're supposed to dream as a kid all the way up to right before 18. It's like dream world. That's blocked. Heavy metals block that. So what I have learned is that heavy metals are blocking that space for our kids, and different parts of the brain are now starting to function, and they're not supposed to function until you're an adult.
Wow.
An adult. So a lot of these different behaviors, emotions that you see from our kids at a young age, those doors aren't supposed to open up until later in life.
Wow.
So those heavy metals are forcing the brain to start to come alive in spots that they're not supposed to.
Wow.
And so that's what I've learned a lot. And by, you know, eating real well and doing stuff like that, you know, we're working on, you know, getting metals out and things like that to help us out.
So when you talk about heavy metals, what does that mean? Like, I guess I am like you were in the beginning of this process. Like, I don't really know that much. So like, and I'm sure, you know, like most people don't know that much. When you say heavy metals, what does that mean? Is it like heavy metals, like, right, in the bloodstream for that just come from birth and stuff like that? Or expand on that a little bit more.
It's been said that heavy metals can pass down from generations.
Oh, interesting.
Generations. And you know, you have more accumulated inside you, the child. But also it's in the environment. So it's everywhere. Everyone has metals in them. Can't escape it. Metals are in our water.
Yep.
Metals are in our food.
Yep.
Metals are in our house. They're on the walls of our house. They are in, like, if you use like aluminum foil wrap, you just touch metal, it's going to absorb into your body.
Skin, yep.
They're in a lot of places, or even on our furniture. You just have to do the research and I got to share the knowledge to the world to help 100%. People out. Yeah. So when you know some of that knowledge, it's like, hey man, don't be scared. You got the knowledge, but now here's some tools to help out. So then we use tools to help out, such as certain foods or herbs or supplements and stuff.
Right. And like, and I was going to get into that. Like you guys live a very holistic lifestyle, right? As you said, what does that entail and how does that help her to deal with her autism?
Right. So like I said, back in the OT days, one of our therapies was occupational therapy. You're sure. Kind of learning the body for all the challenges that you have. So with that, that's a natural form of exercise. It's like play exercise. So for a fitness trainer, it's like, man, that's so cool. Like, you know, you can squeeze Play-Doh. You can squeeze something harder, like Therapuddy.
Yeah.
And one thing we did with Therapuddy to help us be able to hold a pen or a pencil was if you roll it out onto like a kind of like a pizza plate,
mm-hmm.
and you take a fat paintbrush and you flip it upside down and you hold it like this with the grip, you start to strengthen your fingers and your hands when you start to practice writing things. And we used to have like a little square board that had little pegs, whatever the heck you call that. You put rubber bands on that and you start pulling them and you start getting some finger strain. We use things like swinging for us is like her go-to exercise. So swinging brings body awareness. So it's like, she may think some of my body's missing or I can't, I don't understand the gravity going on because it has to do with the inner ear.
Sure.
So like when you do something like swinging and you're off the ground, you kind of feel your body more in that sense. So you do things like that. And this is crazy, but we all like to go down a slide, right? We all like to go down, woohoo, going down a slide. But a thing that's called heavy work for us, which works the muscles, the joints, which goes deeper and deeper to really get the input that your body's craving is, when you start to climb up a slide,
yep.
and you have to hold on with your hands and you got to use your legs and you got to climb up a slide, that body's working, man. So that's like one way to get what we call heavy work.
Wow.
And then like another thing is called touch. Like we're, you know, our hands, like my daughter likes to move her hands a lot. So like we'll drag them like on a brick wall, like woo, left hand, right hand, or we'll put them in sand or we'll put our feet in sand because, you know, your hands and your feet are the furthest extension away from your body as far as body parts are concerned. And if you can't feel your hands and feet, they're going to freak out. So you have to do like a routine, a variety of exercises that you know that are helpful for your child. And the thing is, like, you don't use it like a template, like, you know, every hour we do this, this, and this, because that's overwhelming for parents, what I learned from a therapist, is they're the captain of the ship. You let them naturally do that activity for as long as they want to. And if you realize that they're happy and they're getting the sensation that they need, you know,
just
play
keep
on,
doing it.
Play
yeah.
on.
What about nutrition and diet? Because you mentioned, you know, eating certain foods and stuff like that to try to get these metals out. How does diet help her to deal with the autism and enable her to kind of center herself, I guess, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, man, you read my mind. I was going into that next.
Excellent. Like, sorry. You know?
You know, a lot of us are picky eaters. A lot of autistic kids are picky eaters because they get fascinated with, like, the texture of foods. So we're, like, fascinated with, like, chicken nuggets in the beginning. A lot of them like chicken nuggets. So, like, we learned to use some different foods to kind of help out with textures. Some of them like crunchy foods. So we eat celery a lot. So celery is real good.
Nice.
It gives you the crunch, but it's also real good for your stomach because you're getting the natural mineral salt that your stomach needs. And you're also getting it for your fancy word here. I don't like using fancy words. But, you know, it's called neurotransmitters for your brain to help your brain out. So it's giving those, it's also helping up there with the brain.
Wow.
And then one thing we use to break the ice as far as going from that one chicken nugget nation, to start eating different foods was I brought in our pretend world of Disney and I brought in movies that are really important to her. Like I said, they're real to us. The characters are real. So I was like, yellow banana. I was like, Monica, I'm going to eat this yellow banana for Alice's yellow blonde hair. I wanted to stay long. I wanted to stay blonde. I don't want nothing to happen to her hair. So I get real animated. I put on my little acting dust. I'm going to eat this for Alice. Months. So in time, she's like, Dad, I'm going to eat this banana for Alice. So that was like the icebreaker. And that's a big moment in our world.
Wow.
When a parent sees their kid try a new food. So that kind of turned a corner where now we're eating a fruit.
Yeah. You know?
And that led to like now we eat different things. Like we'll eat an apple that's red. We'll eat that for Mulan, the warrior princess.
Wow.
Right? So we're feeling good with that vibration vibe. But we're also getting that necessary nutrition because we're getting that natural sugar to the brain that helps us have energy and to function.
Right.
Our whole entire body, actually.
Yep.
And it's also, you know, detoxing the body at the same time, because fruit turns into like a broom and it starts to sweep away junk that stays there in your gut.
Yeah.
But as you can see, we're very animated. So that's how we roll. And yeah, there are certain foods that do help out pull out metals. Like one of them, for example, is cilantro.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can use cilantro. You can use wild blueberries. Wild blueberries are like times 20 versus a regular blueberry, because they've been around for thousands of years.
Oh, wow.
So they've gone through the struggle of the earth, and it has so much nutrition punch to them that they're another food that's just like one of the top of the line foods that can, wow. It's just something that you can, you know, put into your food plan.
Sure. And all of this, you just did this research and learned this ever since she was diagnosed, right? To try to just help her. It's incredible. You're the definition of what the power of being a dad is, right? Because you've changed your mechanisms for everything and how you interact with your daughter to help her. You know what I mean? You saw that she was struggling and in a difficult place, and you do all this to help her. And, you know, big shout out to Disney Plus. I'm also a huge Disney fan. My daughter, a huge Disney fan. We do that all the time. But it's amazing that you've been able to kind of take these things that you find that she likes and she really connects with and use them to help her better herself and connect with other things. You talked about food, right? Then you talked about the relationship with the slide and doing the exercise for the body. You know, it's a phenomenal that you've been able to take these things that she understands and likes and connect them to helpful mechanisms that are going to help her in the long run. It's phenomenal. Was the Disney Plus thing something that like the therapy like suggested, or did you just kind of like come up with that out of the blue one day because she just loved it?
Right. So every kid, they have their own thing that they're fascinated with. Like some kids like video games, some kids like things when you're outside, like some kids like looking at the like different bridges you drive under, some like looking at the, what do you call it, a little sewer thing, like when you're on the corner of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Some people, they're fascinated with things. It could be like a spinning object. Like for us at one time, it was the cement truck, the spinning part. Everyone connects to something that they like that fascinates them, and that becomes their sensory anchor. It's kind of like their, you know, it's kind of like, what is that, Linus with his blanket? It's like their security blanket through the day. And, you know, for us, it's about breaking titles. Like, you know, people like to put titles on people because they're not willing to do the work, the hard work to get the results that other people get. So we like to break those titles and those labels that people put on, you know, people, for example, like us.
Sure.
And, you know, you won't talk again. You won't run. You know, you won't do this. You won't do that. Well, we're not interested in listening to the negative noise. That actually fuels us. It fuels us, man. So it's like delicious. So we work on us. And we just overcome obstacles. Like we have a lot of, you know, we have challenges. We're always going to have challenges. That's life. Life hits you hard every day.
What
life don't care. So you have to step up to the plate and you have to continue to evolve, because I didn't know any of this stuff about nutrition. I know any of this stuff about sensory activities.
Sure.
I had to make time and make it a priority.
Sure, for sure. And when did she become, you said she started nonverbal. Well, actually, before I mention that, I love the fact that you use the term we. I love that everything about her is about we, because you really are going in this with her. That's just a beautiful thing that you're able to see that and able to make her see that. I'm sure you use that with her and you say, we're going to do, you know, and I'm sure she appreciates that and helps to not single her out for being different or unique or whatever. So that's phenomenal. You said she started nonverbal. When did it finally start to click with the language and everything?
That was about 2014. I met some friends at a networking group, and they have a certain type of brain service that they offer. It's called lens therapy, low energy neurofeedback. So what happens is you go in there and there's like 27 sites on your brain that they work on. So they do one session, they put the little stem on there. What happens is your brain is kind of like a symphony.
Yep.
Like if you're at a symphony and the conductor's, you know, leading the pack, and if there's an instrument, a player or two that's out of place, they're out of place.
Yep.
So with your brain, there's parts of our brain that are stuck. So they're not performing. They're not with the rest
right,
of the bunch.
Right, for sure.
So in those sessions, we were very stuck in a lot of places. So as we got into about the third or fourth session, the brain started to get flexible, and we saw that with the graphics. And when that happened, Monica went from getting, she was starting to learn words and speech therapy. We were fighting hard. And then at that third or fourth session, she started to sing a song.
Wow.
And after she sang a song, then she completed her first sentence.
Wow.
So with the combination of that therapy and the speech therapy and everything else combined, you know, that's teamwork, and she turned that corner and now she speaks.
Wow.
And now she'll talk her head off.
Wow.
If you show love to her, if you show love to her world, she's going to bring you in. And, you know, now we talk to people at stores. Like, Monica has a series of questions. We go to, like, the Dollar Tree, for example, or one of her favorite stores.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, hey, I'm Monica. I did so-and-so. How are you doing today? You know, and they can feel the vibe and the energy that she's pretty awesome. And then she'll be like, she has these same repetitive questions. Like, what time do you wake up? And they'll answer her. What time do you go to bed? And then she'll be like, what time does the store open? What time does it close? And by the time we're done with that conversation, you know, she has a new friend and those people remember us for next time.
It's amazing.
Because in our world for our kids a lot, we don't have friends. So when you can meet friends like that in the public, you know, that's a pretty big win.
Well, why do you say you don't have friends? Obviously, you're going to deal with kids bullying and shunning her away because she's different. That's obvious because kids at that age are, you know, excuse my French, but this is Dad Hard with a podcast. They're assholes. Kids are fucking assholes, especially if they're not, you know, if parents aren't like you and like I, who have this mindset to raise their kids to know that people are different and you don't need to treat them differently. You still need to treat them with respect, right? Not everybody's like that. And those kids, the vast majority are assholes. So obviously I would assume that kids probably shun her, are not super interested in like being friends with her. But did the parents do that to you guys also?
You know, sometimes you get looks from the kids and the parents, and like, you know, there is that percentage of kids in school that want to be your friend. Now, like, they have that heart, they have that caring heart, that loving heart. You know, so she'll have a friend in school or two, but outside of that, you know, no one's, you know, actually inviting us nowhere. But in support groups for autism, like in your local city or town, that's where you have opportunity to find other families like yourself that you're not alone in the world, and you can set up a play date because we always got to work around our unique schedules. Like, we're going to therapies and appointments. And then in time, we've connected with some of our other fellow autistic families and we've been able to hang out like that, which is cool. Now, just to go back to your bully point real quick, like, this is a good story that I like. Like, we were in elementary school and I was pushing her on a swing because we always went 20 minutes early. That's like our warm up, like for exercise, right? You got to warm up.
Sure.
To perform better in your workout. So we warmed up before we went into school. So we did our warm up. We're swinging, we're singing, we're doing all that stuff. And then two kids walk by and they started to make fun of her voice and laugh at her and all that. And I told myself, the old me, you know, would have been mad.
Yeah.
But the me to educate and share the story was like, all right, opportunity. So I went over to those kids and I was like, one of them had like a shirt. I don't know if it was like a hockey shirt or something. I was like, hey, man, is that your team? And I talked down to their voice level. And he was like, yeah. I was like, you like that team? Yeah. Have you ever been to one of their games? And they're like, yeah. So they're all fired up and happy. And like, the next day, like, right, if you're like rooting for your player or somebody scored, what do you do? Do you scream for joy? And they're like, yeah, I scream. And then the next day I lose my voice practically. I was like, bingo. I was like, so my daughter right there, she couldn't talk for a while. So what happened was, and I gave him the story.
Wow.
So when that story was over, you know, because we made a friend at the end, they're like, oh, then they got, you know, then they started to care because now they knew the backstory.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, is there anything we can do for Monica? I was like, yeah, when you're seeing her having a bad day at school, you know, just tell her, hey, Monica, don't forget to swing. So what happened with that was it went from me pushing Monica by herself on the swing to a lot of kids walking to school angry because they're not able to play, you know, that they saw us and probably people were talking, you know, about us. I was pushing the whole swing set of kids.
Wow. That's amazing. See, like, that's the great type of advocacy that's necessary because, you know, being an advocate and delivering this message and these stories to parents, like, sure, it'll, you know, those that are in your position are going to listen to it, take it to heart, whatever. But the more important thing is the way that you're able to break it down to kids as well, because that's what's, you know, that's what's really important for her on a day-to-day basis, I would assume, right? Is that she has to deal with kids all the time. She's in school, she has to deal with kids, and she needs kids to understand. And so it's a beautiful thing that you're able to kind of separate your emotion. I mean, listen, I'm sure you're so wrapped up in it now that it just is second nature, but it's amazing that you're able to separate your emotional side from your pragmatic side, and you're just able to just break it down to these kids and be like, listen, that's a beautiful analogy that you made, because now these kids understand, they actually understand why she's talking the way she is. That's a beautiful thing that you're able to do. Was that something that you also learned through therapy, or was it just like coming into your head at different times and just seeing opportunities there to just try to make everybody aware about this?
It was just coming through my head naturally, just being authentic. So I think I just changed from Monica. You know, she's made me a better person. Wow. I learned how to be a better person, because I wasn't always that person.
Sure.
You know, I was a butthead in life for years. It's better, you know, it feels good to be honest and to come think about that stuff. So, but when I became a parent and then have, you know, Monica, I had to change all those things, man. That's the past. That's like, you know, that's dust off the shoulders now.
For sure.
Now I'm me, and we're here, and we're right here now. So it's like you said, what I just told those kids, that can probably help those kids right there where now they can share a story of their own.
Exactly.
They can repeat that process and at that young age and create a good habit throughout their life. And now they can impact others.
Well, and it's also like that education of those kids and breaking it down to a level where they understand it. It also now can make them an advocate for her, right? They're not going to be an advocate for childhood autism and stuff like that. They're not, you know, they're kids themselves. They're not going to go back. I mean, some maybe will, but they can be an advocate for her. And the next kid that they see do that, be like, hey, you remember when, you know, Patrick Kane scored last night? Like, you know, you remember how excited you got? Well, she didn't know how to talk and she just learned how to talk. So now she's excited and that's why she speaks like that. So don't, you know, don't make fun. Now these kids can bring that same story to educate other kids and be an advocate for her. And the way that you also are now able to build relationships with, you know, everyday people, like you mentioned, the Dollar Tree, but also with all these kids is phenomenal. And I'm sure that helps her get a sense of security in these places that maybe previously were scary places to go, nerve-wracking, anxiety-ridden places for her to go. You know what I mean? Now it's a safer space, and that's because of the power of you being a dad and wanting to make that for your daughter. It's phenomenal, man. It really, really, really is. It's a beautiful thing. When did you start actually doing the public advocacy as far as your content on YouTube, the book, etc.? When did that click, and how did that start, and why did you decide that you needed to go that?
I'm going to say probably a little under 3 years, but since June of 2019, it's been every single day I've gone on live.
Yep.
So I had to break out of my shell, like you said, as far as the introvert stage. And now I can talk to people right here like I talk to you. So it's just doing something that makes you uncomfortable, doing something that sucks every single day.
Sure.
Because when you do that, you're going to grow as a person. So I want to, you know, share the message.
Sure.
and put that content out there, because there could be a family out there that's going through the same thing you're going through, and their day may suck, and they may want to do something negative to themselves, to their life. But if they hear a video that turns their frown upside down, you know, you might have just saved somebody right there.
100%.
So that's why I go live every day. I don't care if I got a shaggy beard. I don't care what I look like. It's not about that. It's not about me. It's about showing up for people.
Yeah.
To serve others.
And continue to be an advocate for your daughter and to help people that might be going through the same thing or similar things, whether it's autism or whether it's some other, you know, mechanism that a child is going through. You know what I mean? Like that's helpful. And the positive, like I go back to the positive energy that you have, the positivity that you approach it with is phenomenal, because you get it from the moment you start, right? From the moment you start speaking, you can see and feel and absorb this positivity that you're coming with, and it's phenomenal. It's educational, but also inspirational, and because it's positive and it's fantastic, dude. This has been, excuse my French again, but it's Dad Hard with the podcast. It's been fucking awesome. You're an incredible human being. The way that you've approached this fatherhood experience, that's unique to you know, to most people, but it is your everyday. It is the only father, you know, this is the fatherhood experience that you know. And that's what we have to do as dads, right? We have to tackle the experience that we have and be the best dads for our individual kid, whether they have autism, whether they're just late to speak, whether they are late to walk, whether they're loud and rambunctious and wild and a violent kid in school. You know, these are all experiences that we have, and we have to deal with our kids and do what's best for our kid. And you're fucking doing it, and it's unbelievable. And you're also trying to help others to do it as well in a very inspirational manner. It's unreal. I very much appreciate what you're doing. Even though my daughter doesn't have autism, the energy that you're putting into the space is fantastic. So I'm going to give you a big thank you for that. But before I let you go, what I do, I always ask two questions of every dad, and I'm so excited to hear your answer to this. Number one, what has been your favorite fatherhood experience? However you want to absorb and adapt that question, what's been your favorite fatherhood experience?
For me, it's spending time with the kids. It's that simple, spending time with them. Like, we made an adventure day yesterday.
Wow.
We made an adventure day the last few days. I blocked off that time for them. Like life moves way too fast right now. Even inside your house, like when it hits about 7 a.m. or so, life is moving freaking fast. And then when you go out that door, it's times whatever mega. So for me, it's making that time in my schedule to spend time with those kids. I even write it down on my weekly goals every week.
Wow.
Like, I write something out, like one of my weekly goals, like I have business goals and I have personal goals. One personal goal is, you know, me and the kids are doing yada, yada, yada. And we did yada, yada, yada. So I X that off. I got it done before the week. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Spending time with the kids, man. It's making memories. It's being face to face. You don't get the time back. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. So you have to be there. You made that kid.
Yep.
So you got to be that dad. You got to be that parent. And you got to freaking represent, because they're going to remember your actions, the time shared. They're not going to remember those words
100%.
As much.
100%. 100%.
So it's setting the example right there. And just a quick shout out to my son, Christian. Christian is Monica's younger brother. He is a man. He's 11 years old, by the way. But he is so mature. I can already see him as a man. He's so mature. He's so caring. He's so loving. He's actually Monica's best pure play partner. So
awesome.
He made time to learn how to play with his sister.
Wow.
So another man right there.
That's amazing. We're going to have you back on to talk about how the fatherhood experience compares to the two of them, because that's an interesting dynamic that I also want to talk about. So we're going to have you back very soon.
Oh, yeah. Do round two.
Yeah, exactly. The second question I always ask, and this is what I'm super interested to hear from you. Best piece of advice that you can give to a dad behind you in the fatherhood journey?
Patience and understanding. You have to also look at life through their lens. It doesn't matter that we're older than a child.
Yeah,
I mean, an adult, if an adult hasn't faced their demons in life deep down inside the dungeon in their soul, things that happened to them as a kid, we're just going to be an older version, but a more aggravated version like that. So you have to
absolutely
respect your kid. You have to listen. You have to let them talk. You can't cut them off. You got to hear the kind of person they are, and you got to root for them, and you got to support who they want to be in life and not try to like force your deal on them. You know, that's a growing bonding relationship right there.
100%.
When it's respect on both sides, and you know,
yeah. No, I agree. I agree 100%. Even my daughter is way behind you. She's about to be two at the end of the month. But that's one thing that I always try to do. And it seems like you've had to master it, whether you consider yourself a master or not. You've had to master that, the aspect of reading your child and doing what's comfortable for them, right? That's always been my style of parenting for sure. Like, what do you want to do? Obviously, there are limitations at times, you know, but like, it's always trying to read her. What's wrong? What you're crying? What's wrong? Let's use your word. You know, so I think that that's 100% a huge piece of advice, and something that we all have to do is really listen to our kids, you know, from any age, from the moment they're born. You know what I mean? You got to listen and be in tune with what they want and what they need so that you can provide that. That's what our jobs are, right?
Yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah, man. Gary, this has been absolutely incredible. I praise you to the fullest. And I'm very happy that we did this. Before I let you go again, you do the YouTube, you have the book. Plug yourself for anybody that's listening that might have inclinations of childhood autism in their kids, or their kids are just having difficulties as they grow, where can they access your content? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on the social media thing. So like first, my book, you know, really quickly, it's really a good guide to help parents that child that's just diagnosed with autism, because we don't know jack squat. And this has a lot of stuff pressed into it. Like we're talking about the history of autism. We're sharing stories of an autistic girl, her ups and downs, things that she likes. And then I have contributors in there in their fields. Like I have a massage therapist. I have a sensory integrated person in there. I do the fitness part. We have that brain piece in there I was talking about earlier. Yeah. So it's just a lot. It's not even a big book, man. So it's like short. It's a nice playbook. Parents or anyone or someone that they know who has a kid is autistic, or someone who just wants to learn.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot in that little book right there. So as far as the social media channels, I'm on YouTube, Gary Martinez Jr. You'll see me there. I have videos on, there's some on activities for our kids, and then there's some other stuff in there too that could be helpful. I'm on Instagram, same thing, Gary Martinez Jr., same thing for Facebook. I'm also on TikTok. I just did a real funny TikTok video today. So yeah, that's where I get to get raw. And I did my first, what do you call it, like a reel.
Okay.
So it's like a reel, because Instagram, you could do reels. And also on TikTok, there's whatever they call their version. So I'm getting more, you know, evolving as far as those pieces. So I'm on there. You can check me out right there. Any questions, shoot me a message and I'll get back to you.
Awesome, man. This was fantastic again. I really appreciate you coming on, and let's chat about getting you back on for part two.
For sure. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you very soon, man.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Bye. And that is all for this week's episode of Dad Hard with a Podcast. As always, to connect on a fatherhood, brotherhood, shoot us an email at dadhardpod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at dadhardpod. And check out the website, wedadhard.com, where this episode with Gary Martinez Jr. talking about fathering or dadding hard through childhood autism of his 15-year-old daughter. He's a phenomenal dude. What he's doing is phenomenal. The way he's trying to educate other people is absolutely phenomenal. So definitely check that out. You can check out the entirety of season 2, season 1, and forthcoming season 3. Because my daughter's about to turn 2. So season 2 about to be over. With that said, until next week, same dad hard time, same dad hard place. That's all for us. We're out. Peace.
Remember back in the days before you got blazed and lost in the haze.
Gotta remember the good times.
Remember
man.
Back in the times when being just a kid was fun.
Right.
Remember back in the days before you had brains or cared about your ways.
Care about nothing, man.
Remember back in the times when being just a kid was fun.
Right. Ain't that the truth, man? Wish you could go back being a little kid again, man.
Yes, I do.
Remember them good times. Everything was free spirit and all that. I'm talking the playground. You was playing on the monkey balls or whatever. Sprinklers, hydrants going off in the street in the summertime. That home cooking.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.